This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, wallahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abdullahi wa rasuluhu arsalahu Allahu ta'ala bil huda wa dinil haqq liyudhhirahu 'ala ad-din kullihi wa kafa billahi shahida. Fa sallallahu 'alayhi wa sallama tasliman katiran katira. Amma ba'd, fa inna asdaqal hadith kitabullah wa khayral hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu 'alayhi wa sallam wa inna sharral umuri muhdathatuha wa inna kulla muhdathatin bid'ah wa kulla bid'atin dalalah wa kulla dalalatin fin nar. Qala Allahu 'azza wa jalla fi kitabihi al-karim ba'da an aqula a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim wa idh ibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bikalimatin فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر أمين يا رب العالمين الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. It's an incredible day for all believers and all of the people that are the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, because we're celebrating his legacy. And I wanted to take this opportunity of the Eid khutbah to remind myself of a few things. This legacy is thousands of years old. And as long as you have remembered being Muslim, you've been reminded of this legacy virtually every time this time of year comes around and beyond. So there's a tendency when you hear the same thing over and over again to tune out, to hear something and say, oh, I already know what that's about, you know, and that's a tendency you have and I have. We're human, that happens. And that's one thing that I want all of us to let go of when it comes to our religion. فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. Remind, because the reminder has benefit. And in fact, even though the story of Musa alayhi salam was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam many times, when he was in a difficult situation, Allah said, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Did the news of Musa come to you? Like news meaning something new. Hadith, hadith from hadith. Right? As if you have to hear it like you've never heard it before. And I have to think about it like I've never thought about it before. And that's part of a very fundamental part of our religion, is that we think about these teachings as if we're being exposed to them for the first time. And what that does, the benefit of that, is that it affects our heart in a new way. Instead of it glossing over, because it's not just something that goes into our ears and then goes into our minds. It's something at the end of the day that's supposed to affect our hearts. And that's really what we want to do, is be able to affect our hearts. That's because we're talking about the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He understood something from the very beginning. When he lost his dad kicked him out and he was on his own. He basically told Allah, I can lose anything, but illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. Just the day on which money and children will be of no benefit, except somebody who comes in front of Allah with a good heart, with a sound heart. That's all that's going to matter. So at the end of the day, all of this is about what's the state of our hearts. You could be in a gathering of people and we're in a good state in terms of the environment. We're in a good state in terms of the food that's on our table. We're in a good state in terms of the clothes that we're wearing. We're in a good state in terms of the job or the income or the finances. We're in a good state in terms of our physical health. But that doesn't mean our hearts are in a good place. And that doesn't mean that we're okay with Allah, right? And that's really at the end of the day what this is about. So the few things I wanted to quickly share with you. The first of them is that Allah made human beings with a body, like all creatures, but he also gave us a ruh, right? And it's hard to translate ruh, but for now I'll just call it a soul. So a body and a soul, right? And if the soul leaves the body, then we're dead. Then it's just an empty shell. And without the soul, we're nothing more than a corpse. That's all we are. So there's an outside reality, which is this physical body. It has organs, it has skin, it has bones and all of that stuff. And then there's a spiritual reality, the real true essence of who we are, that's not seen. That's an invisible part of us that's inside of us. That's the part, even when we die, it's going to be alive. right? And it's going to be questioned by the angels. It's going to be taken to Allah. It's going to be that's the essence of who we actually are. And this is basically just like these clothes I'm wearing on top of my body. My body itself is clothes that I'm wearing. It's not actually me. This is just a cover. And literally Allah says, وَتَرَكْتُمْ مَا خَوَّلْنَاكُمْ. On judgment day, He says, you've left behind the wrappings we put you in. Right? These are the wrappings. And on top of that, they're the wrappings of clothes. And on top of that, there's the wrapping of your home. And on top of that is the wrapping of your neighborhood. And on top of that is the wrapping of the sky. When judgment day happens, all these wrappings come off. It's just you, you and Allah. So just like there's for human beings, there's a body and there's a ruh. And without the ruh, we're just an animal or we're just a corpse, really. The same exact way in our religion has a body and it has a ruh. The religion has a form, like it looks like something on the outside, right? The prayer, the things we say, the things we hear, the visible parts of Islam, the rituals of Hajj on the outside, the fasting on the outside, you know, the forms of the prayer, the recitation of the Quran. This is all the body of the Islam. And then there is something that's inside Islam, the ruh of Islam, the essence of this religion. Everything Allah has given us as worship, every act, like it's the prayer, or it's Hajj, or in this case, it's the Eid celebration, it has a body. It looks a certain way, right? Just like the body has a certain appearance, these acts of worship have a certain appearance. So we're supposed to leave, you know, start, as soon as the day of Eid or even the night before, we start doing takbirat, right? We take a different road than the normal road to come to the Eid prayer because it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do, you know, we pray the prayer first and have the khutbah second. This is part of the body of the ritual of Eid. We celebrate, we hug each other, we eat food together, we drink together. These are things that the Prophet ﷺ told us we should be doing on the day of Eid to celebrate, right? But that's all the body of Eid. And this is a moment to remember the soul of Eid. Like what's behind all of it? And what's behind all of it is, you know, in simple words, what we're celebrating is the fact that we get to call ourselves the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to slaughter his own child, who he loved so much. But it's remarkable that Ibrahim alayhi salam, that same Ibrahim alayhi salam, who submitted himself, and it was such a hard test for him because he loved his son so much, was even arguing with angels about a nation he's never been to. He's never even met the people of Lut, but when they were about to be destroyed, he was worried about them. Because he saw himself almost like a father figure to all of humanity. Which is why when he passed all of his tests, Allah said to him, "Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama," I'm making you a leader over all people. Over all people. And then he talked about his offspring. And Allah then told us, he's your father, Ibrahim. Even if you're not by blood or by lineage connected to Ibrahim alayhi salam, maybe physically your body and its genetics are not tied to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Your soul is genetically tied to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah says, "Millata abikum Ibrahim." You're the religion of your father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, that means because this Eid is about celebrating him, we will lose the soul of this Eid if we don't understand what his life is about. Because then we don't know what or why and how, because what, why, and how are important, we're celebrating. So what happens when the soul is gone is that the celebration of Eid is just a prayer. And it's food, and it's gifts, and it's hugs, and it's meeting with family, and all of those are wonderful things because those are the beautiful body of Eid. But without the soul, it's nothing more than a corpse. A body is only beautiful when it's alive, isn't it? That same beautiful body, it could be a beautiful, physical, healthy body. But the moment the soul leaves, it becomes a corpse. And it's something that's difficult to look at. That's something that's difficult to be in the presence of. We want to make sure that when we do acts of worship for Allah, that the body is beautiful, but so is the soul. And the soul remains inside the body. So what are at least three things you and I can think about when it comes to the soul of Eid, the essence of Eid that is tied to Ibrahim alayhi salam? The first of them is that he is a young man who is willing to, who's really committed to finding out about who Allah is. And when he tries to find out who Allah is, there are people that get in his way. And he starts asking questions and wonders why we do things the way we do them. And the people who get in his way are the people that have the most power in his life, over him, his own father, his society. So if he questions them and angers them too much, he's going to get in a lot of trouble. But that doesn't stop him from seeking the truth about who God is, who Allah is. No matter what, I want to know what the truth is. He's not praying yet. He's not doing any acts of worship yet. He's not eating halal yet or, you know, performing rituals yet. He doesn't know any of that stuff. He just wants to know who Allah is. And he wants to know why we follow the wrong way. Why are we following something that doesn't make any sense? He's questioning. He's questioning his culture. He's questioning his society. He's questioning the beliefs that he was raised with. And he's saying, there is something that I have inside my heart. There is a higher purpose. There is someone that I owe gratitude to. And it cannot be the sun. It cannot be the moon. It cannot be the stars. It cannot be these idols that you're sitting and dedicating yourselves to. There has to be more than this. I'm going to question it. And when you question the people around you that are blinded by false gods, then you become offensive. Then people could call him, you're being too extreme. You're being disrespectful. Why can't you be like everyone else? Why are you being weird? Why, this is unacceptable. You're hurting me. You're hurting the family. And he hears all of those things, and it doesn't change the fact that he's committed to the truth. He didn't stop loving his father. He didn't stop caring about people. He's actually one of the most caring human beings talked about in the Quran. But his desire to know and commit to the truth, because I just need to know. I need to understand for myself. And when something is wrong, I'm going to call it wrong. I don't care whose feelings are hurt. It's wrong. Dad, I love you, but you can't be sitting in front of idols. They have no life. They can't benefit you. You know, I know something you don't. He was offensive. That's an offensive thing to say, but he was committed to the truth. Now, the thing is, we can say, Alhamdulillah, we found Islam, therefore we don't have to investigate anymore. You know, his faith is something so remarkable, Ibrahim alayhi salam, that even when he finds the truth, he's still trying to understand Allah better and better. Even after finding the truth, even after being a prophet, after so many years, you know what he said to Allah? Ya Allah, can you show me how you bring the dead to life? And Allah says, this is after Allah has experienced being thrown in a fire, which is death, and Allah preserved what? His life. He's already experienced that. So he knows Allah controls life and death. Yes or no? He's experienced it. And he still asks Allah that question. You know what that tells you? That tells you that it's not some faith and growing your faith and, you know, seeking to know Allah more and more and more is not a thirst that you quenched a long time ago. Now you know who Allah is. You can move on to other things. It's not like that. Your quest towards Allah is a lifelong quest. When we sit in gatherings of Eid, when the Prophet ﷺ tells us to celebrate and eat together, and why would he tell us to go take different roads on Eid day? Because other people would see, where are these people going? When we're going to sit together with family and eat and drink, we're going to sit and eat. Back in the day, people didn't have refrigerators, right? People didn't have pantries in their homes like we have now. What are they eating? They're eating the animal that they sacrificed. You get it? They're eating that animal. And when they're eating that animal, who are they thinking about? Who are they talking about when they're sitting and eating? Who are they discussing with each other? They're discussing the sacrifice that their father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was willing to make and how they are honored to be a part of that. And I was thinking about that on the way here today. And I was thinking about, because we're studying Surah Yusuf right now, Yusuf alayhi salam was in prison. And you know what he said to prison, his inmates, when he struck a conversation with them? He remembered his father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his particular words were, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى النَّاسِ. I get to be part, you know, I follow the religion of my fathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub. We don't associate anyone with Allah. That is a favor Allah has done to us, and that Allah has done to the people. But most people don't understand, they're not grateful. He's so grateful that his father found Allah, Ibrahim, who then taught his kids, who then taught their kids, who then taught Yusuf. But that favor began with Ibrahim alayhi salam, who found Allah, who sought for Allah and removed all shirk. When we're sitting and celebrating with our children, it's not just, what did you get me for Eid? I didn't get anything. Yeah, you should get stuff. But as you're sitting there and celebrating these gifts and this food, you and I should be thanking Allah for our father who turned towards him, whose legacy we get to be a part of today. Because this wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be mentioning Allah's name. We wouldn't be tied to that if Allah didn't bless him and make that dua. In fact, even our Prophet ﷺ is a response to Ibrahim's dua. So that's the first thing, a quest, no matter what. The second thing is surrender, no matter what. Ibrahim alayhi salam is an example of something you and I struggle to do every day. Surrender completely to Allah. Surrender our sleep to Allah. Surrender our temper to Allah. Surrender our greed to Allah. Surrender our desires to Allah. Surrender our opinions to Allah. Surrender our time to Allah. Like he surrendered himself completely. Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. That's not an easy thing to do. You and I know that. We live it. We struggle with it every day. And we are now sitting and celebrating that we get to look up to someone and find strength and inspiration from somebody who surrendered himself entirely before Allah. You know, notice that both the Eid prayers come after a massive act of obedience. The first Eid prayer is after a massive act of obedience to Allah, Ramadan. 30 days of obedience to Allah, not easy. The second Eid prayer comes after a massive act of obedience, the Hajj, which is an exhausting, taxing act of obedience to Allah. And then you get to celebrate. So what are you celebrating in both cases? You're celebrating surrender to Allah. That's what you're celebrating. Isn't it kind of crazy then that our celebrations include so much disobedience to Allah sometimes? Our celebrations have backbiting. Our celebrations have showing off. Our celebrations have, hey, that's your Eid outfit? We're talking about a man who left all material things behind, yes? And Eid has become more about material things than anything else? That means the body remains and the soul is gone and even the body starts rotting. It starts decaying. We can't let that happen to Eid. That's the second thing, surrender. And the third is sacrifice. Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to do something no other prophet was asked to do. Ibrahim alayhi salam was asked to give up something nobody else was asked to give up. Give up his loved ones. Not once, multiple times. When the child is born, leave him in the desert to die. That's the first sacrifice. Before the sacrifice of, that's even the first sacrifice. Leave the wife and, wife and child in the middle of the desert, which practically looks like death. What else does that look like? You guys go drive somewhere and the air conditioning is not working in the car and your family will say, I'm dying. Try that without air conditioning in the desert. How are we going to be dying? And then after his son is old enough to run along with him, then Allah says, you need to sacrifice him for me. What does that tell you? That surrender, submission to Allah, isn't just about giving up yourself, giving up your own feelings, giving up yourself even physically. But surrender has another dimension, and that's sacrifice. Meaning, when we surrender to Allah, there are going to be things that we love or we're going to have to let go of, or we're going to have to be willing to let go of them. And we should be grateful to Allah. One of the biggest things we're grateful to Allah for is Allah didn't ask us to sacrifice the way He asked Ibrahim to sacrifice. He asked him to sacrifice his own child. We can't even imagine what that would be like. Instead, he sacrificed an animal instead. And when we're sitting and eating an animal that's been sacrificed, or sacrificing an animal, we're celebrating that Allah made things way easier for His children. They were way harder for Him, way easier for us. And we thank Allah that He didn't ask us to sacrifice things that give us joy. He only asked us, this is the beauty of the Quran, وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. Allah only asked us to sacrifice things that are bad for us, that are filthy, that are evil. He didn't ask us to sacrifice anything good. In fact, He told us to ask for good things in this life. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. We should be celebrating. We should be in a healthy, safe way because we are in a COVID situation, right? So we should be getting together with family. We should be eating with them. But we should also make this a day of reminding ourselves what makes this day special. What makes us special because of it? You know, why do we get honored by it? Don't let that soul of Eid go. Let that be something that's renewed and rejuvenated. And then the food and the drink and the gatherings and the gifts will actually have meaning. Let's make this a meaningful celebration for all of us and our families. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla protects you and your families, and Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us a meaningful Eid and gives us a renewed sense of commitment to the legacy of our father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Eid Mubarak to all of you.